Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The Ad News Pubcast, the podcast that celebrates the industry's penchant for a sociable drop and a chat.
Hi, and welcome to the Ad News Podcast, recorded at Forbes Street Studios. I'm Ad News Senior Journalist Josh McDonnell, and today I'm joined by Mediacom's Chief Investment Officer, Claire Butterworth, and Publicis Media Exchange's Commercial Director, Jodie Fraser. Thank you both for being on it.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
So today's discussion is really around the first 6 months in television, around expectations, dominant shows, dominant networks, BVOD, and a few of the latest developments that have come up over the past week. I thought we'd kick off, though, with the current state of play between the networks. All signs earlier maybe point to a bit of dominance by Nine, but I know speaking to you both prior to this, there may be some differing opinions.
So, Nine absolutely dominated the beginning of the year. They've taken, traditionally, we used to look at the quarters like, Seven would own quarter one, Nine would own Q2, and they've really flipped that with Married at First Sight, of course, which has been a ratings bonanza. It's hard to come back after Q1. If you hit it really hard in Q1 and then you have a good follow-up in Q2, which they did with The Voice, that just leads to a successful year. So now they've got Ninja, and it's pretty much what they told us they would do in the upfronts at the end of last year.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think they've had a really strong start to the year. I think there's almost a perception versus reality as well. If you look at all three networks, Seven's share and top rating programming and audience is broadly in line with where it was the year prior. So I don't think there's been any fundamental shift from Seven's perspective. I think it's more a challenge around Nine's gain at Ten's loss, which is probably more a challenge for Ten, and obviously where Nine has been quite instrumental in moving that audience.
Yeah, and I do think that Nine, out of all three, has a much bigger trade presence. They're really good at selling themselves to us. They're really good at selling themselves to the market. There's a reason why everybody's very focused on them being number one. Mm. And I do think Seven's been quite quiet this year. They seem really focused on Tokyo. We're not hearing about their sort of daily, weekly wins as often as we hear about Nine's.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that Nine's obviously with a broader ecosystem and the buyout of Fairfax has caused a significant restructure. And I think obviously Stevo's got now quite a significant amount of heavy bench strength when you look at each of the disciplines that they now have. Not to say that Seven don't, but I would agree with you. They've probably been a little bit quieter in market. But again, I think it's when you start to actually really digest the numbers as well. I mean, I think the relentless dissatisfaction from Stevo and Hunwick on their power ratio will continue for probably the end of time, really. I think it's really now around how Ten can start to claw some of that audience back, because we need three strong competing networks, and I think all three networks would agree that that's what you need within the marketplace. If you don't, that leads to all sorts of inventory pressures and, I guess, pricing pressures from the two dominant networks as well, and it puts Ten in an unstable position, which is not what we want. So I think seeing the results of Survivor last night is, you know, the first signs of green shoots, which I think is really positive. Bachelor and Bachelorette look quite good as well. I feel like there's been quite a bit more trade marketing from Ten on in the last, what, 2-3 months as well.
Absolutely.
So, again, I'm keen to see where Ten sort of net out, especially post this MasterChef PR as well.
Yeah, and I mean, it is really, I mean, this is always Ten's quarter. This is their time to shine. It's when they've got their three biggest franchises. So I think it's a really, it'll be really interesting to see how they go, because apart from the block, there's not a huge amount of new big name shows coming out for the other two.
And I was actually going back to sort of reflecting on that first half of the year as well. And, you know, you touched on Married at First Sight, and that gave us a lot to think about, you know, from a personal morality point of view watching it, but also, you know, from how it kicks off the year off the back of the Australian Open. And, you know, speaking to the, you know, the programming directors at the beginning of the year, both 7 and 10 sort of indicated that Oz Celeb did really well for 10. Both networks sort of indicated there might be a bit of a focus on trying to knock MAFS off its perch, you know, next year. Do you think that's a, you know, a viable strategy for them, or is it maybe something they should focus less on and try to pick up, you know, at this point of the year?
Look, MAFS will knock itself off its perch if it continues to go down the road that it's currently going on. We've seen it with other programs. We've seen it a little bit with My Kitchen Rules, but there's only so far you can go before audiences completely switch off. And one of the things that really worked for MAFS was the love stories in it. And this year there was like one. It is really important that all three have a really strong start. I do think they need to focus on their Q1 offer. It's less about like overthrowing MAFS, because it's a moot point, really. More about just getting really, really good content straight out of the gate, you know, coming off the sport, straight into ratings period. You just need three viable options.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's really important that the promotion's incredibly tight through the sport over the summer period, with particularly with cricket and tennis. And I guess for Channel 10, how they then counteract the loss of internal promotion that they can do, and I guess what their marketing strategy is to kind of ensure that they are still reaching the masses with what their Q1 slate is, because that'll be critically important for them as well.
And, I mean, obviously the success of sport was a bit disjointed this year with, you know, the Australian Open doing reasonably well comparative to what the Big Bash did for Seven. Do you think that Seven will have to really refocus on that coming to the tail end of this year as well? I know this morning Cricket Australia announced that they're actually going to shorten the season by the number of days. Like, is that a strong move, you think?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, Big Bash is so important to cricket overall, and moving Big Bash onto 10 in the first place, just, you know, it really created a new love of the sport. You know, we were starting to see cricket really fade, including like kids doing cricket as a sport, because it had just sort of disappeared. So Big Bash is incredibly important. I do think, you know, it got a little long.
Yeah.
And always, if you can keep a season a little bit shorter, it just keeps audiences interested. I mean, that's the worst case scenario, is like losing the audience along the way, and then the final happens and no one's watching it. So I think that's a great move. And I think, you know, Seven has a really rich history of sport, and they know what they're doing. I think this year was their first crack, and I think as they move into the back end of this year and the beginning of next year, I think they'll really see the ratings grow for Big Bash, and it'll be a great success.
Awesome. And I guess the other part of this is I've had a bit of an interest in is sort of what have the clients been thinking? What have the clients been telling you about the way that the networks have been operating? You know, have they got, you know, you mentioned to me earlier there might have been some frustrations from you guys not having three equal networks, you know, doing well. are clients sort of seeing that with a bit of frustration? Do you both?
Oh, I don't know if it's necessarily frustrating. I mean, I think that at the moment, as we sort of said, we need three incredibly strong networks. It's important for the market. It's important for Think TV. It's important for all of the commercial networks as well to all be firing at the same time. I guess it's managing the cannibalization of audience. Are clients concerned around it? I don't think so. I'm sure there are to a degree, but it's up to the agencies as well to ensure that, you know, there is still seamless delivery of campaigns and that the agencies are evaluating, you know, where we're investing our clients' money effectively. So, you know, I think that's the responsibility of us as agency leaders to manage that accordingly.
And I won't be cheeky and ask a dollar figure or anything like that, but are you seeing a shift in the way that clients want to spend with the other networks based on the early performances this year?
I think, look, the you know, marketing budget's under more pressure than ever. A lot of, you know, there's also a very strong pitching rotation at the moment, and some of them are very procurement led, which is all around price, and some of them are not. But, you know, we need to be driving ROI and delivering that value back to them. I mean, you know, the other thing is that, you know, networks have got limited inventory. It's not like a, you know, some of the competitive platforms in other media channels where you can have far more inventory. There's limited amounts, and, you know, they need to be yield managing that accordingly. So I think for us, it's managing clients' expectations, managing expectations with media owners and trying to find the balance. Mm.
And I guess the other part here is to a little bit of the predictions for the remainder of the year, I suppose, you know, or what would you like to see the networks do differently, continue to do? I mean, look, I think Nine would probably like everyone to say, just keep doing what they're doing, but...
I mean, what we would like is for a really, really strong 10 to come out in the second half, because it makes our jobs... easier, it makes client results better, you know, it's real competition. What I think will happen is we'll see a little bit of a comeback from 10 in H2, but I think 9 will end the year winning the demos. Yeah. I think 7 will end the year winning the total people.
There's no chance that 9 can win the total people?
Oh, look, if I'm perfectly honest, I don't really spend much time looking at total people. We're very much around delivery for our clients. I know they care, and that's totally fine, but I'm much more around the demos and probably the broad 25-54 for me. So if that's yeah, delivering, then, you know, happy days. And if they win the year, all the power to them.
Yeah, I mean, truly for us, it's the demos. Mm. But I know, you know, there's legacy... you know, win the year on total people. And 7 just has always done a great job on that.
And I think, you know, what's one thing we didn't touch on was maybe sort of some new format. And you actually did mention this with, you know, MAFS possibly knocking itself off the perch over time. You know, there was a bit of a trend this year with shows that have been around for a while, like MasterChef and MKR, sort of starting to slide, whereas a new sort of, not format, but idea like Lego Masters, which taps into existing reality show formats, but with a new spin, does really, really well. I mean, is that something that TV needs to start considering, is, you know, not leaning so heavily on its tent poles and trying to find?
Yes.
In short?
The answer is yes. I think in Australia we have a real tradition, and not just in television, in everything, of getting something, it's good, riding that out till it dies, and then going, oh no, I need a new something. What would be great is if we could refresh refresh their tent poles every 5 years. Mm. Because, you know, and you see it all the time. And, you know, it's not just us. You see it with overseas programming as well. You know, if something does well and it was only supposed to be one season, they'll make a second season, Big Little Lies, that was not necessarily up to the standard of the first. And I think, you know, if we could... I understand why reality is so important. I understand why tent poles are important. We just need to mix it up, whether it's new hosts, a different format. You know, we can't have 10 The Blocks on every year. And, you know, these things that go for 10 years, they eventually lose their audience. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, I think the networks have acknowledged that as well. If you look at like Ninja Warrior, which had a much shorter season and a number of eps, and I guess total minutage, which was really good. And I think that also you know, sort of attributed to why it did as well as it did, particularly in the.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
First season. Yeah. It's a really difficult one for the networks. I mean, you know, reality is often a lot cheaper to produce than things like dramas and comedies and those sorts of genres. And it's balancing, I guess it's balancing the budgets, and particularly in Australia without the, you know, I guess the pockets, when you sort of look at the Amazons and the Netflixes of the world, it does create a bit of a balance that they need to work through. But I do think that we need to make sure that the programming is being refreshed and, you know, it's not sort of same old and becoming wallpaper, because then, you know, audience engagement isn't as high as what we really would like it to be.
Okay. And I mean, look, I'll ask a direct question about 10 indirectly, but I suppose, is this where we all ended expected to be halfway through the year when it came to television? Did you both expect this to be how the report card played out?
For 10 specifically?
For 10 specifically, I suppose, you know, yeah.
Oh, look, I mean, I think 10's had a bit of a challenging year, and I think that's, you know, but having said that, though, Celebrity did reasonably well. I think it did well in the demos they were aiming for. MasterChef broadly did quite well as on that sort of scale as well. I think there's probably some pockets outside of that I think the programming may not have necessarily been strong enough to sort of plug the gaps between those tentpole programs. I guess for me, with the ownership of CBS, I probably by now would have, I don't know if expected, maybe expected, to see some more injection either through capital or through different programming or another element like that at this point, given the ownership changes. That's not to say that I don't have confidence in 10, because I do. I just think, given CBS and the capital that it has behind it, trying to work through where I would expect 10 to be, I think I probably haven't seen the blueprint yet that sort of solidifies that for me.
And for 9 and 7, Jodie, did you sort of expect them to be where they are now? Like, did they play out the way you expected?
Absolutely. I mean, if you look at their lineup for this year in the first half and you look at their lineup for last year in the first half, there's not a lot of differences. So really all that happened at the beginning of the year for them was the sport change. Mm. But, you know, this is what I expected. 9 has a really, really strong front half of programming, and so does 7. Mm. And traditionally, you know, they'll always find themselves number 1 and 2. So I think it's, I don't think that gap has increased any.
Yeah.
This is where we expected them to be.
And I guess moving screens, but not from television. So BVOD, obviously, broadcast video on demand. I've always got to put the full word before the acronym, don't I? You know, that's actually, you know, at the beginning of the year, I think TV reported a really great growth of 43% on last year. So I wonder, you know, how have you seen it go over the first 6 months of this year? You know, is it on track with what you thought it was going to do?
Well, I mean, the biggest problem with BVOD for us as buyers is that 43% on what? Like, we do not have enough clarity on measurement on BVOD at the moment. We really can't see, you know, what they're doing together, how many people are watching 7 and 9 BVOD. All we have is the people who log in and their subscribers. So that's frustrating.
Mm.
So I know that they're growing. I don't know how much. We do buy a lot of BVOD, and it performs really well against all the traditional metrics that it should. But it's hard to say. I mean, our clients have been probably putting between 10 and 20% of their television budgets into BVOD for the last 3 or 4 years. And it works. It's great. But we need like a lot of clarity around what actual delivery is. And, you know, that still really hasn't been released to us in any meaningful way.
We need virtual Oz.
We need Voz. Yeah.
And everything else.
That's the starting point.
Like Voz is great. Yep. Voz is excellent. Voz is television extension. It's not a digital measurement of BVOD. And it would be great if we could have both.
And Claire, what have your thoughts been on the start of the year for BVOD and what the strategies of the networks are doing to, you know, sort of promote it and, you know, get it across better to both agencies and clients?
Yeah, I mean, I think that broadly as a, you know, sub-medium, whatever you want to call it, I think the actual BVOD platforms on each of the networks have definitely improved over the last sort of 12, 24 months. I think the agencies have worked collaboratively, both from a BVOD and linear TV point of view, to try and merge them. So the way that we're at Mediacom sort of going around our video neutral planning and those sorts of approaches we're taking is definitely reaping a lot of reward for our clients. I think that the platforms are all quite strong. I think individually some of them have got a little bit more work to do, but I do think that's where the audience is. That's where we need to be following that audience, because the role of, you know, video is to deliver often large scale, quickly at mass. So, you know, we welcome the extension, but I agree with Jodie. We need to ensure that we've got the methodology and the results quickly.
Well, yeah, quickly. I think we're all sort of hoping for that. Are there any programs that you've noticed that work particularly well on BVOD? Because obviously, you know, the tentpoles we've just discussed are normally quite reality-based, or are all reality-based. Is there anything on BVOD that does a bit differently? I know SBS, you know, they lean on their quality drama lineup and have arguably been given the, you know, title of the best in market in many ways. So yeah.
Look, SBS On Demand is fantastic. And I think the greatest part about SBS On Demand is there is so much content on that platform that never goes on the television, right? So they've really given themselves a brand new audience of people. Like it isn't necessarily SBS television watchers. It's a whole new group. I think the way that they also launched some programs on BVOD first and then television, you know, they've really excelled, and their back catalogue is drama. So if you think about the sort of content profile of SBS, it is high drama. And then if you think about something that's done really well on BVOD for 7, 9 or 10, you know, the standout is Love Island,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's more of the same kind of formats they already show, but again, it's a slightly different audience to the main channel. So I think they've, you know, Nine is starting to do some really interesting strategies, more along the lines of what SBS has been doing. And I think, you know, that is the way to drive audiences to those platforms, and that's how they'll see more growth as well as younger viewers.
Awesome. And I think the missing child here that we haven't mentioned is Foxtel. And there was some pretty big news yesterday of Netflix partnering or integrating into the Foxtel platform.
It's pretty exciting.
It's very exciting. I just think, you know, the winners are the subscribers, right? The package price has come down. You know, I personally went through a whole thing where I was like, maybe I should switch to Fetch. I don't know. It's all getting too much for me.
Yeah.
And the minute I heard this deal, I was like, wow, now I can just stay with Foxtel and have everything. So the winners are subscribers. If the subscribers are winning, then we're winning as advertisers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, you know, they'll hold people to the platform. I think it's really clever that they'll keep people in their ecosystem while they're watching Netflix. They'll keep people in their ecosystem while they watch SBS On Demand. And, you know, for us as advertisers, it gives you the confidence that you're going to be actually reaching some Netflix subscribers
yes.
at some time.
Yeah.
I could not be more excited for them. I think it's just, like, it's just, there's they've done a great job.
That's an interesting point. So what, yeah. There's sort of backdoor advertising for Netflix by being on board with Foxtel?
Secretly.
Sort of. I think it's great. I think it's also going to keep the Foxtel audience stickier, which is like what they want to avoid churn. And I think also programmatically it's definitely going to help when you're talking to MCN and looking at how we can start to programmatically trade with a much wider audience as well. I think that's going to be incredibly beneficial for a lot of advertisers.
Yeah.
Yeah, certainly looking at it yesterday as well, you know, getting a demo and walkthrough for it, it definitely first thing that dropped to mind is, wow, there's going to be so much more pre-roll on Foxtel than ever before. But, I mean, it's a good opportunity for MCN and, you know, they're already doing stuff with their 6-second ads. They're already tampering around with ad loads. So surely this is a beneficial thing for them as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I had someone ask me this morning if, you know, if this is Foxtel moving away from their linear roots. Mm. And I was like, Foxtel has been video on demand since the invention of the IQ box. Like, they led that innovation, and this is what you expect from Foxtel in terms of keeping up with innovation and keeping their products fresh. And of course, it gives MCN just a million other things to sell and a million more ways to do it. They're back at the forefront of television innovation.
You might have to ignore that email. That might have been my question that came through regarding that linear thing. Whoops. I'm a bit embarrassed now. I think we've covered most of the bases here, but I think one of the things I'm interested in is what's the programming that you've got your eye on for the end of the year here, you know? And for me, it's Love Island to see if it can repeat some of that magic even while going onto a main channel.
Yeah.
So I suppose I'd just like to get your thoughts on, yeah, what the programming to keep an eye on for is.
I think we're going to see, I'm hopeful that we're going to have a good season of Bachelor and Bachelorette for 10. I'd like to see that succeed, particularly if Survivor's, you know, night one, if night two continues onwards, that'll give them a nice pre-promotion moving forward. Personally, I'm quite excited about seeing Sea Change come back on Channel 9. I love Diver Dan. So I'd be interested to see if they can manage to recalibrate that nostalgia that they had for that that particular program. And I like a good Aussie drama. I think there's good ones out there, but I don't think that necessarily they get the main broad opportunity to deliver that audience. So they're probably for me the main few. I think Seven's got a reasonably good slate as well going into the back half. I mean, the Block should do reasonably well being out of Melbourne, just finishing off Nine. I think Seven's back half looks all right as well.
I'm really excited about the cricket.
Yep. Finally, someone on this who likes cricket as much as I do.
Cricket's my number one sport.
I'm AFL.
Oh.
Snapsies.
So I'm really excited about the cricket. I'm really excited to see how Seven handles some of the internationals. I'm super excited about the Ashes.
Yeah.
On Nine. And for 10, I think the way that they have taken the Bachelor franchise and the Bachelorette franchise and made them very Australian has been part of the reason it's so successful. And I'm really excited to see how these two go. I think every year it's they get one right and maybe the other one not right,
yeah.
Like the girl or the guy. I think this year's like got a real good chance of actually being both because Angie's so likable and the very smart man is handsome.
Yes, the astrophysicist. Mm. Yes.
The very smart man
is very handsome.
Yeah.
That's everything that I wanted to talk through, but I just want to say thanks very much for both coming on and, you know, taking the time to share your thoughts on that.
Well, thanks for having
me. Thanks for having us.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.